When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, D'Amico Ryans has the exact same view on this game against Kansas City and probably against the Ravens too, but he's only going to talk about Kansas City, as I'm feeling about this, which is, hey man, we've clinched our playoff spot. Let's go see where we stack up against the really good teams.
And so for us, being at the spot we're at right now in our season, like, what a matchup. We get to see, like, can we go match up versus one, the top team in the AFC, right? And hopefully get a chance to see them again later down the road. So that's how I'm looking at this matchup is, let's go see where we are. Let's improve as a team. And we may end up back in Kansas City again. Who knows? Let's go out and just play complimentary football. Don't make it more than what it is. Just stay steady, stay calm, and don't worry about the external factors we can't control. It's easy to get into that. You know, is Mahomes playing? Is he not? Who knows? We'll find out when they kick the ball off. The weather, what is it going to be? Is it going to be cold? Who cares? Like, this is playoff football right now. Right. So let's line up and let's see where we are.
Look, in a perfect world, this game would have there would have been a lot more at stake in this game had the Texans done what we expected them to do this year. And 9-5 is good. It's a good record. It's fine. They clinched the playoff spot. In a perfect world, and I'm guessing that the schedule makers probably thought similarly, this would be a game where there would be ramifications for the first round bye.
Yeah.
You know, the Texans would be 10-3 or 11-3 instead of 9-5 or something like that. So independent of that, that's not the case, obviously. The Texans can't get the one seed.
It does for the Chiefs, potentially.
It does for the Chiefs. And there's stakes for the Texans, too, as you and I talked about in the open, moving up to the three seed. There's benefit to that. But the position that they're in now, like, where this isn't – they don't have to win this game. You know what I mean? Like, they really can these next two games. It's truly just measuring stick kind of stuff. And then they're still going to be going to the playoffs.
This is where I am, and you know this. Drew Hodgson, my old Texans teammate, and I watched the offensive line in the run game yesterday. You know, because I was pleased with some things that I saw. Just more about I'm intrigued by Titus Howard at left guard. I thought he did some good things, both in the run game as a pass protector. They also still had a lot of issues at times in pass protection, particularly against games inside, that stuff. But in the run game, oh my gosh, I don't know how they're at this point where it's this late in the season, and there are guys that just flat out do not know who they're supposed to block on a play. And there's just too many instances where multiple guys, I mean, we had the old classic cluster bleep where you had three guys trying to block the same guy while two other guys ran free. The tight ends are just getting absolutely destroyed. I mean, obviously, Dalton Schultz especially. Laremy Tunsil took a step back in terms of physicality and what I was hoping for him. It was the worst circle of swarm I'd ever put anybody in.
Seth put Laremy in the circle of swarm last week.
I'm angry again. I'm angry that anybody would call it a lazy narrative that the offensive line was an issue this year. Because you're basically calling me an idiot. I can't watch this offensive line operate, and I'm supposed to be lazy for noticing it. I'm sorry that I realize that these guys don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah,
that's all I want. offensive linemen who know who they're supposed to block on any given play. It doesn't seem... Is that an ambitious goal?
No, I
think, watched last night and I saw both teams doing it.
No, I see other teams doing it.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Oh.
Does someone get fired over this? Like, is there a change at the position coach at least?
I don't know. I mean, and honestly, sometimes when you talk about picking up the games inside...
Because it is very frustrating in week 16.
Well, a lot of it is. It's just basic fundamental stuff of guys, offensive linemen... You know, you as much as possible, you want their shoulders to stay square to the line of scrimmage, parallel with the line of scrimmage. And these guys just turn like they're a revolving door, and that's how games get through. And it's just, it's basic, it's high school stuff. I don't get it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this game. Let's dig in. Six-pack style. First can. Texans edge rush. There's a real opportunity here. You touched on the fact that Joe Tooney's going to be playing left tackle again. He's a guard playing tackle. And the Texans edge rush a couple games ago against Jacksonville kind of got shut out Jacksonville. They got kind of shut out in that game.
Yeah.
They made some big plays against the Dolphins that showed up on the box score. I thought they did a good job of kind of making life uncomfortable for Tua, which is why Tua had such a bad game. But the big plays from Will Anderson, the strip sack fumble, the huge sack by Danielle Hunter towards the end of the game. There's opportunities here, and I think especially going on the road, this is like one of those non-negotiable things, Seth. Like, mm-hmm. if they're gonna win on the road at a place like Kansas City in the postseason, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson and company are gonna need to show up.
I think. Look, there's a lot of pressure on the Mahomes pass rush, too, but still, even in doing that, it doesn't mean that when you're rushing four guys, they're always gonna get there. The part that I get nervous about is Mahomes' ability to extend a play, whether his ankle is banged up or not. And that's where last week that wasn't going to be an issue for the Texans secondary, because Tua is going to get rid of the ball quickly no matter what. You know, I know that on the broadcast they're wondering if they'd hit them with some double moves or something at some point. That ball was coming out.
Right.
Mahomes isn't going to be like that. Mahomes will extend some plays, so... There's more pressure on the secondary to, you know, it doesn't have to look like, hey, three interceptions. It just needs to be keeping in your zones, staying attached to your guys, let the guys up front do their job. But sometimes they don't get there immediately, so you just got to cover.
Yep.
Tua takes the snap. Tua with pressure, throwing downfield to his right, and intercepted. Stingley again. That's going to do it. The Texans are going to beat Miami. Stingley's second pick seals the deal. And Houston will get its ninth win.
All right, it may not need to be three interceptions, Seth, but it sure would be nice if they got three interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
The turnover train. The Texans have been turning other teams over at a rate that very few teams have been doing. They had I was looking at the season kind of game log, team stats. It's hard to believe. The Texans had a period of three games early in the season. Minnesota, Jacksonville, and Buffalo, where they didn't cause any turnovers
right,
in those games. They actually went 2-1 in those three games. Mm-hmm. They went three games without causing a turnover. They've caught up quickly from that three game. They've caused 25 turnovers since that game since that stretch.
And I think that's where, when you look at Mahomes on the season, he's got 11 interceptions, and that's been one of the stories of the season. Nine of those came in the first half of the season. Over the last seven games, he's only got two interceptions, and they're both to the Bills.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because the Bills are stylistically kind of similar to the Texans in a lot of ways, and they can take the ball away a lot. So it's not like Mahomes, you know, all of a sudden cured his interception issues. I think he just hasn't faced a whole bunch of opportunistic defenses in the second half of the season. I'm very excited about that possibility.
Yes.
That would be with all my issues and concerns about the offense, the one remedy, the panacea for all that is, hey, just get a +3 turnover margin.
And especially if they set up short fields like the turnovers did this past game.
Yeah.
You know, the strip sack fumble set up a 28-yard touchdown drive. You know, the Kalen Bullock interception got them down to the 4-yard line. So, and I think they're going to need that. I don't have a lot of confidence that the Texans, in tough environments... Weather should be good, but that's going to be a loud stadium on the road. Good defense.
Yeah.
Not a great defense like last year, but a good defense that they're going to be able to go 70 yards consistently.
Right, yeah.
10 plays, 70 yards. I don't think this is in them right now.
You know what? I guess maybe, you know, when Nick said it was a lazy narrative that the offensive line was struggling, Maybe what he meant, I guess the accurate way to put it would have been like, yeah, you're not ambitious enough in your scope. The tight ends are horrendous blockers, and the wide receivers really aren't very good either. They want to,
yeah,
but they're not.
They try.
They're not Deebo Samuel, or those guys like that. They just aren't. It's the blocking in general.
The blocking in general.
Which is still a thing in the NFL.
No, for sure. I mean, I think everybody back when Nick said that earlier in the season, everybody including Nick would agree, something's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something's wrong.
So maybe in just blaming
it's
it
not all the
as
O-line,
much on
maybe.
The O-line yeah. that you're... But the problem is, okay, if it was just the tight ends, if it was the tight ends and the offensive line, yeah. say, but it's okay, but the tight ends aren't making up for it in the passing game
yeah.
either.
Yeah.
I barely know they exist at
yeah.
any given moment.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. All right, next one. The marquee matchup, like similar to Nico Collins versus Jalen Ramsey last week, which I don't know how to grade that matchup because Nico only had 17 yards, but he had two touchdowns. Nico versus McDuffie, versus Trent McDuffie. He's their best corner. He's their best guy in the secondary.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he follows Nico Collins around.
Yeah, that would make the most sense.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs, the defense... This is not the same Chiefs defense as last year. Mm-hmm. Now, they looked really good last week. They took the ball away from the Browns six times. That was Jameis Winston's true moment where he turned back into a pumpkin.
Yeah, four picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough.
And then probably sexually harassed the pumpkin.
I know.
Jameis
doesn't
he's
do
changed.
That anymore.
He's changed. I know.
He doesn't do that anymore. He just...
I know,
gives really good pregame speeches.
Yeah, 100% doesn't. Yeah. Yeah. So he's a perfect gentleman to all pumpkins. I've known that.
Right.
It's long been known. He's never stolen a pumpkin out of a grocery store.
Ever. Just crab legs.
But they're not the same defense that they were last year or at the beginning of the season, really. But they still are. They blitz a bunch there. But I'm curious about just how much they blitz was as banged up in the secondary as they are.
All right,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's get to the next one. Chris Jones. This is the guy who can wreck the game for the Texans. This is the same way we've talked about Jeffrey Simmons with the Titans, Micah Parsons with the Cowboys. I would say, you know, Josh Hines-Allen with the Jags is a little like that. But Chris Jones is elite, man. He is an elite interior defensive lineman. Here's C.J. Stroud on the problems Chris Jones causes.
His ability to get off the ball, you know, and you know, they use their silent cadence really well, you know, able to hide it, you know. And he does a good job of using his hands. And I'm, you know, a big fan of his. He does a great job and has been doing it for a high level, you know, for a long time. And, you know, just pops out on film and, you know, makes a lot of plays for them. Even when he doesn't make the play, you know, he's taking on double teams, giving other guys one-on-ones and things like that. So, yeah, he does a really good job.
Yeah, this is the Jeffrey Simmons storyline again. It's, you know, Micah Parsons is going to beat you. It's off the edge. And you're like, all right, well, we got Laremy Tunsil. And at the time, Titus Howard out there. They'll be – and they shut that. They did a good job against Micah Parsons. This is – This is a test. Titus Howard, Jared Patterson, Shaq Mason, you're on notice right now.
Yeah, no, it's a big test. Yeah. Like, and they just haven't passed the test versus a dominant interior defensive line yet. I guess the one saving grace might be that they're not it's not as stacked. You don't have the combo of Simmons and T'Vondre Sweat with the Titans, like neither of whom you could really move. It's that Chris Jones is such a stud that at the very least you can focus in on him a little bit. Mm-hmm. The other big one is just Karlaftis versus Blake Fisher.
That's a good one.
Pass protection. Because there's another, you know, with Blake, the guy, what I worry about is guys who are more powerful.
Yeah.
Blake's just kind of a slender rookie still.
Yeah.
So Karloff's is a big, powerful dude, and that'll be a good matchup to see.
Yeah, that'll be fun to see, for sure.
Hopefully it's a good one to see.
Hopefully, for Texans fans, yeah. But I think it's a key matchup in this game. You're absolutely right. Karloftis going against a rookie right tackle, that can wreck the game as well. The last can before we get to the prediction, Lady Luck. Lady Luck has been riding on the shoulders of the Kansas City Chiefs all season long. They're a very good football team, obviously. But it's been all, they're 13-1, and other than the Browns game last week, it's all one score games.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are games that you go, okay, well, it's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and they're just doing things at the end of games. And then there's games where the Raiders are snapping the ball off of Aiden O'Connell's face in field goal range late in the game. There's field goals that are bouncing off of uprights but going in. Stuff like that. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the Chiefs' ability to win close games.
Guys, understand situational football, right? Play smart, have great awareness in those situations. Where KC has won a lot is, you know, they take advantage of miscues on the other side of the ball, whether it's offense, defense, or even special teams. Like, you just have to be on the details longer. And that's where they've got a lot of people. They outlast people mentally. Right, and not so much physically, but it's mentally. They're mentally stronger than the teams that they're going against, and they find a way in the fourth quarter to win games. Quarterback makes a play, you know, Kelce makes a play, somebody's gonna make a play, and it's not something you teach. I think it's just guys just understanding what's in front of them, and they know how to make the plays.
It's gonna be hard for me to be angry after this game, I think, just looking ahead, Seth. Even if the Texans lose, say in a close game, the only things that are gonna make me angry after this game are if the Texans get blown out, I'll be angry. Like, embarrassing. You know, like, if they do something at the end of the game, like make a mistake or something that they've done poorly all year, cost the team, like they show no improvement. Or if the Chiefs win because the football gods decide that they need yet another one-score game at the end of the game that they have no business winning.
I'll tell you what, though. This is what people wouldn't realize, and understandably so, but the Texans and the Chiefs are so weirdly similar in so many ways. For one, the Chiefs have scored one more point than the Texans' offense. Two, their quarterback that they love has thrown way more interceptions than you're expecting to see from him. Hasn't been the same guy. He's been middle of the pack offensively. But three, you look at the game last week. The Chiefs took the ball away from the Browns six times. The Chiefs scored 21 points off of that.
Right.
There were only 8 minutes left in the game when Mahomes got injured.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, there was a, you know, they slowed down after. And they were still passing the ball. Like, even with that lead, that 21-0 lead or whatever it was. Six turnovers.
Yeah.
And that's what they turned it into. It's just as frustrating there. It's just that I think for Chiefs fans, they feel like, we've seen this before. They'll be a different team when they hit the playoffs.
Yep.
They've got that. They can sit on that pedestal.
Yeah.
The same way we did with the Astros.
They flipped the switch before, man. Yeah. They did it last year. My prediction, Chiefs 20, Texans 19. Why would I stray away from, if I'm trying to be right, why would I stray away from what the Chiefs have done all year, which is low scoring, close games that they end up winning but not covering the 3.5-point spread?
Yeah, they've scored 21 or fewer points in 5 of their last 6 games, I believe.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the same Chiefs team right now.
20-19, yeah. Chiefs is my prediction. And
it would be if the Chiefs score 30. This is where we are. Like, if the Chiefs score 30, I'm going to be pissed.
That would piss me off too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, what would make us angry about this game. That was
because I'm leaning on the defense. The defense has to carry us.
That would be, it would make me angry. It would also scare the hell out of me because you're right. Like a playoff run for the Texans is only coming in all likelihood on the back of the defense. Them giving up 30 to this version of the Chiefs offense, troublesome if that were to happen. All right, injury news for the Texans we'll get to. We had Thursday Night Football last night and the Rockets get a big win as well. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.